And this is my Bible. It's about 28 years old, and I bought this Bible. In other words, it wasn't a gift. I bought this Bible when I was, say, 19 and a half, 20. And I saved for 6 months to purchase this Bible. After my initial conversion from just a nominal Catholic to being a more serious Catholic, I came to the realization that even though I was in the seminary, that my primary calling was not to be a priest. My primary calling was first and foremost to be a disciple. And the question that I struggled with was, what does it mean to be a disciple? If Jesus had to appear to me just like he did to the 12 and said to me, come, follow me, what would he want from me? And of course, Jesus does not call that way anymore. And so if I wanted to understand what Jesus wanted from me, I said, I must get into the scriptures. And that was the very first time that I had opened the scriptures with any desire. And I delved into the gospels. And from the gospels into the rest of the Bible, like a kid would delve into a cookie jar. I had this desire. The more I read, the more I began to realize, my goodness, what have I missed all these years? So if you scan through my Bible, in many pages you have rainbow color markings. I was marking with markers everything that I found, and I fell in love with this word. I took this Bible wherever I went, length and breadth of India and the world. No matter how heavy my baggage was, this Bible always went with me. And so in 28 years, it was used quite a bit and also became very ragged. In fact, it was in tatters at one point. So I decided that I'm going to get a new Bible. But I just couldn't part with it, because I realized that this Bible represented my conversion, my faith journey, my relationship with God. This Bible for me was not just a book, something. This Bible is actually somebody. This Bible is a sacrament for me. Because just like I encountered the real Christ in the sacrament of the Eucharist, I encountered Christ in a real way in this Bible. And so all my retreats, all my mission trips, everything, this book goes with me. One of my friends who saw the state of my Bible and how dearly I loved it, decided as a birthday gift 1 year to restore it for me. And I'm just so thrilled. On the cover it says, my peace I give you. It was a little crisis that I went in my faith, and I put those words, and the person who restored it didn't remove that, kept those words. I always think of Christ saying to me, my peace I give you. And now as I think about this book, I realize that it is not just a book. This Bible is my best friend. Of course, you realize that I'm talking about the Bible because the focus of today's scripture is the Word of God, particularly the first reading and the Gospel reading. In the first reading, Isaiah talks about how God's Word is like the rain or the snow that falls on the ground and does not go return back to God without accomplishing its purpose. God's word is like that. And then you have the parable of the sower and the seed in today's gospel reading. Jesus talks about the sower's seed that falls on various types of soils. The seed, as we understand it, is the word of God, and the soil is the hearts of the believers. Or is it? So I want to explore this parable in my 3 points and explore it with some depth so that our relationship with the word of God becomes stronger and our relationship with God's word becomes a truly enriching and saving experience for us. First of all, I want to talk about the generosity of God when it comes to God's word. The parable of the sower and the seed talks about the generosity of God. Why am I saying that? It's because of this parable and how farming was done in the Palestinian times. They farmed a little differently than we do. Today we plow the field, clear the field of its weeds and prepare the ground and then sow the seed. The Palestinian farmer, perhaps because of the lack of modern equipment or because of the lack of labor power, did it differently. They sowed the seed first. They scattered the seed first and then used the plow to work the seed into the ground. Also remember that unlike today's big corporate farming, that in those days farms were little family individual plots of land, and so you have little plots of land everywhere, right? If one farmer wants to get from the edge of the farm to his farm, which might be somewhere in the middle, there is a path. So here's what's going on. When the farmer scatters the seeds, it falls on this path that the farmers used to get to their fields. Sometimes the farms were lined with bushes to demarcate the farm. Some fell on that. And some, before the farmer could come and plow for the seed to be worked into the soil, the birds came and ate it. So this is a very real parable. This farming imagery of Jesus works in favor of understanding God as being very generous. In other words, just like the seed is scattered and it falls everywhere, God's word is available to all. There are different kinds of people, even among us, that are, in terms of our faith, we're at different levels, aren't we? But God doesn't look at you and say, you're a good person, I'll give you my word. Well, you're not that good. You are good, but you're not that good. But you know what? No word for you today. God doesn't do that. The seed falls on all kinds of soils, and that shows the generosity of God. And this is not the only scripture you hear about the generosity of God. Today's first reading says what? Just like the rain and the sun fall, so is God's word. Now, God's purpose, Isaiah's purpose in giving us that imagery is to say that God's word is purposeful. It does not return without accomplishing his purpose. But for me, it works in favor of the idea that the rain falls on everybody, not just on the good people. The sun shines on everybody, not just the good people. There's another passage in the gospel reading where this generosity of God is further expressed. Jesus says to us in Matthew, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust." God is generous. God is kind. So here's the practical implication of this parable. Every time we are inclined to deny people our generosity, every time we are inclined to be kind to someone because of their race, their ethnicity, their gender, class, status, sexual orientation, let us remember that God is a generous God. God lets His rain, His sun, and His word fall on everybody. God's word is available to everybody. God abounds in generosity and kindness. Secondly, this parable captures a situation in the early Christian church. What's the situation? The reality of the rejection of Jesus by many people. Not only in Matthew, not only when Matthew wrote this gospel, but even in Jesus' lifetime, his message and his life was rejected. We know that. This parable captures the various stands that people took in relation to Jesus. So some, like the Pharisees, outright rejected him like the seed that fell on hard ground. There was no room for the seed to take root. Some were attracted to Jesus but failed to make a commitment, like the seed that fell on thorny ground. My focus, however, is not on the rejection of Jesus, even though this parable captures the rejection of Jesus. My focus is how Jesus ends the parable. He says, "But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields 100 or 60 or 30-fold. In other words, yes, there were people who rejected Christ. However, did that stop the faith from growing? There were people who took the word of God and bore fruit. And what's the result? Here we are. 2,000 years have passed. People have taken the word of God and borne fruit, because of which future generations have the faith for them. Today, there are many people who reject Christ, and we get worried about, oh my God, atheism is growing. Oh my God, somebody didn't believe. You know what? Don't focus on the rejection. Focus on the important thing. And here are the important things. We are believers, right? The important thing is, do you and I read and hear the Word of God every day? Where's your Bible? What's your relationship with it? Or with God's Word? Are you reading and hearing God's Word every day? Do you pray and reflect on the Word of God each day? Do we love God's Word and live by it? Is your life bearing fruit? How much? 30-fold? 60-fold? 100-fold? See, because if we do not take the word of God and if we don't bear fruit, it has implications for the church and for the future. Thirdly, in these parables is included a section which, when I first read it, I wish it wasn't included. The whole question of why does Jesus speak in parables? And the explanation that Jesus gives is not easy to digest. So the disciples ask Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus replied, "This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look but do not see, and hear but do not listen or understand." What is Jesus saying? He's saying that parables are not merely stories with a twist or a moral. Parables are about a pedagogy. Pedagogy means a way of teaching, a method of teaching. And parables are not just about the story, it's about how you teach, right? So Jesus says, I teach them in parables because they look but do not see and hear but do not understand. In other words, parables by their nature invite us to look deeper, and only the one who looks deeper will get the message. In other words, you can't hear a parable and say, oh, that was a good story. No, now is the challenge. So what? I've got to go deeper. So let me give an example of this very parable. How can we go deeper just with this parable? Let me help you. We understand this parable to be this parable as the seed being the word of God and the soil being our hearts. But I don't know if you notice a subtle shift in that imagery when Jesus actually explains the parable to the disciples. He gathers the 12 of them and he says, hear what he says. The seed on the path is the one who listens to the word of God. So suddenly, the seed is not the seed. The seed is a person. In the beginning, it seemed like the seed was a thing. But suddenly, the seed is somebody. Who's the somebody? You and I. So the disciples of Jesus are both the soil and the seed. We are the soil that receives the seed, are transformed by it, but now I am the seed, because I'm transformed by God's word. So Jesus again says, the seed sown on the path is the one, and the seed sown on the rocky ground is the one. And so the transition from the seed being something to the seed being someone is a huge transition. In other words, God is sowing us, not just in us, but God is sowing us. You are the seed in your family. You are the seed in your neighborhood. You are the seed in the workplace. You are the seed in the church. You and I are the seeds. This is a serious implication, isn't it? God wants to use us in the same way that the farmer used the seed. Which means I must be generous like God. I must be ready to sow myself wherever God takes me. I must be willing to bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. I am the soil and the seed. And Jesus says, if you have ears, hear. Those who have eyes, let them see. Are you hearing? The bread and wine is going to be placed on the altar. We've just heard God's word proclaimed. And now, the word will become flesh. And as we receive the word made flesh, may our hearts be the best soil for God's word. Let our lives be transformed. But then let's go here, not just transformed by God's word, let us go forth as the seed that God is sowing in the world. Let us be the one. People of God said, amen.